Hello, my name is Caroline Foley, and I will be presenting my research paper. The essay was assigned for Professor Margot Shea's Irish History class as a detailed analysis of Ireland's Great Famine. My research paper specifically investigates how the Great Famine changed the institution of marriage in direct consequence to the change in land cultivation. After the Great Famine, the importance of marriage in Ireland dwindled due to a cultural desire for land ownership. My thesis states that, due to the cataclysmic effects of the famine, marriage began to reflect the increasing desire to preserve the central resources of land. Matrimony among the Irish diminished as land availability dwindled. The blight created a new understanding among the Irish people that the events of the famine must never again occur. The effects of the famine were so detrimental to the psyche of the Irish people that they began to change the very basis of their societal composition to ensure ongoing socioeconomic security. Early in my research, I constantly came across the fact that marriage rates decreased drastically after the famine. In this culture, marriage depended on a couple's ability to acquire land as a measure of economic and domestic security. Professor Shea was kind enough to point me in the right direction by suggesting that I write my essay on how the Great Famine changed land ownership, which in turn changed marriage culture. Once I had my thesis, the point I wished to prove, I was able to begin a more intensive research and find more detailed facts about marriage and land ownership in Ireland during the 19th century. One of the most important aspects of my research for this paper was statistical information. When writing my research paper, I was essentially trying to prove that my thesis, which was marriage decreased due to a decrease in availability of land, was correct. I found that many publications discussed how Ireland's marriage rates dropped, and I found many publications about how Ireland's farmland shifted from small-scale rentals into large-scale privately owned farms. At this point, I knew what my purpose of the essay was, but I couldn't write without any evidence to support my thesis. I knew I needed to find numbers, rates that showcased how the societal composition of Ireland changed over time. I very much enjoyed using statistical information in my paper because this type of information is usually an accumulation of historical records and censuses. Also, as a writer, these numbers reassure me that my writing is heading in the right direction and I'm not making any mistakes concerning my research. So when looking into marriage, author T.W. Freeman displayed the abundance of marriage before the Great Famine by stating that in 1841, only 10% of men and 12% of women aged 46 to 55 in rural areas were single. Author J.P. Kent stated that in 1851, 61% of men and 39% of women between 25 and 34 years of age were never married. As marriage rates went down, the consolidation of farmland went up. Author K.H. Connell pointed out that Ireland had 13,464 acres of farmland in 1841, and by 1880 that number had risen to 15,349 acres of farmland. Not only do these statistics prove that land and marriage rates changed after the famine, but they prove that there is a clear correlation between marriage and land occupation. Farmers before the Great Famine were able to rent incredibly small plots of land, which secured their ability to obtain a wife. After the famine, farmers began to consolidate smaller estates in order to create a more privatized system of farming. But since there was less land to go around, marriage became less of a possibility to the Irish people. A good research paper is essentially a mix of analysis on part of the writer and factual evidence. So my analysis of my research was that the psychological wounds of the Great Famine were so traumatic that the Irish people were willing to challenge and change their entire societal structure in order to prevent any future catastrophes. Before the Great Famine, it's important to understand that farmers did not own land. Most of them rented small numbers of plots from wealthy landlords. land ownership was not a possibility for disenfranchised farmers, so many of them were content with renting. And this renting, in turn, allowed them to focus more on building their communities through marriage. In order to prove the point that there was a shift in attitude toward marriage after the famine, I had to prove that the initiative of those who remained in Ireland was to own land. The best way to demonstrate the desires and matters of importance to a culture is through the laws that were passed. Like statistical rates, any historical legal action is usually a type of evidence that reflects the attitude of a nation. I was very lucky that there was a plethora of different types of legal action that the Irish took to make a shift towards land ownership. After the Great Famine, the Encumbered Estates Act of 1849 sold off bankrupt estates to local farmers. The Land Act of 1881 protected legal rights of tenant farmers and removed the threat of eviction. The Ashbourne Act of 1885 gave the Irish money grants to buy land. And in 1841, the formation of the Congested District Board helped Irish farmers begin to acquire legal ownership of their land. So essentially, the legal evidence proved the urgent need of the agricultural community to stake claim within their land, which in turn kind of diminished the cultural emphasis on marriage. The legal changes clearly point out the urgency and efficiency the Irish demanded in its quest to legally own land. As a result, the social demands of the Irish were forced to change as well. This research paper is effective. This research paper is effectively an investigation into a culture and how that culture changed under the threat of annihilation. I had to understand why the Irish people had made such a drastic change in their social norms. This required not only evidence about the Irish culture, but also a cultural analysis. I needed to examine how the national psyche had been affected by a nationwide trauma. Although marriage and land ownership are the central themes of my paper, the bigger picture of my essay focuses on what aspects of life people are willing to compromise after suffering trauma. Before the famine, the Irish were able to maintain a high quality of life. Through the Connachar system, they were able to obtain an abundance of land and a settled place to live. Through the potato, the Irish were able to remain healthy, fed, and keep a source of income. Before the famine, the Irish were relatively content people since their circumstances fulfilled the bare necessities of life. The high marriage rates were a reflection of the fact that the peasantry were not solely preoccupied with the day-to-day survival, and the security allowed for a devotion to domestic life and the community at large. What the famine did was break down every measure that protected the Irish people and their culture. The Great Famine had effectively broken down the two key elements to Irish survival, the potato and landholding. Instead, day-to-day life of the Irish peasantry was marked by death and disease. Consequently, the Irish people would be traumatized by grief that would embed itself in every fiber of their being. The Irish were no longer able to have the luxury to marry for love or emotional fulfillment. Marriage was now an arrangement intended on preserving land ownership and expansion, thereby preserving resources. The famine was so devastating that the Irish changed the focal point of their cultures from the community to land ownership. Families affected by the famine were very much aware of how the previous system of land division had weakened their claims to their farms. Renting offered no legal protection, and small single crops farms faced a constant threat of crop failure. The fear over the future of the Irish people created a massive shift in the process of familial inheritance. Before, any son could choose when he wished to take over a divided section of his family's rented land. After the Great Famine, only the eldest son was entitled to inherit the entirety of his family's owned land. Due to the land evictions, patriarchs of farming families were reluctant to surrender control of their farms and would often wait until old age or death to pass his farm down to a single heir. As a result, men were forced to wait years before they could marry, and often the matrimonial age of the population began to increase. The single heir inheritance also applied to women, who relied on dowries to secure their marriage. Dowries were large sums of money that took a heavy financial toll on the family. Upon marriage, the dowry was given to the family of the groom as a way to pay for the entrance of the bride into her in-laws' family. Due to the expense of the dowry, families picked one of their daughters to inherit. Therefore, only one daughter was eligible to marry. The single inheritance system alienated younger siblings of the family. For some lucky siblings, the dowry of a sister-in-law could buy a new farm or refinance another dowry, thus giving siblings a chance at marriage. But for most, they were left penniless and without the ability to procure a marriage. For most, younger siblings often left their farming communities and immigrated to North America in hopes of obtaining a job and sending back money to Ireland. The single inheritance customs broke down the strong family ties that bound the Irish culture for centuries. In conclusion, marriage came to reflect the structure of the land, meaning both infrastructures were now based on economic security. The Irish that had managed to survive the Blight were haunted by their experience, and this devastation resulted in a complete overhaul of their cultural norms and values. Just as landholding became more centralized, the act of marriage was now a strategy to ensure familial survival and economic success.